come with seatbelts. Father, today, by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, I pray. Every one of us. Not one of us will leave this house, God, I pray, without hearing from heaven. I ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you a story, and it's a true story. I don't tell other stories. And I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet, all right? I'm just telling you the story of how it goes. Pretty much every morning I go for a walk, and it could be an hour, it could be an hour and a half, and that's my prayer time. I walk around and I pray in the Spirit, and I pray over the churches of our town, and I speak out over them and prophesy over them and declare over them and whatever else comes to mind, whoever God puts on my heart, I pray for that. And that's what I do. I was out walking about 3 weeks ago, and I happened to be walking past the Catholic Church, actually, and I was praying, God, Holy Spirit, you know, manifest yourself in this place. You know, look, God, let it be that the Holy Spirit is real and true and alive in this house, God, despite perhaps what I think about tradition or about their, you know, theology or whatever it might be. God bless them anyway and pour out your Spirit in this place. And I felt like the Holy Spirit say to me, Paul, how do you love me? And I, what? How do I love the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is God, and I, how do I love the Holy Spirit? And I was perplexed by that question. You see, I have a picture of God in my head, in my heart, when I talk about God the Father, and you're probably the same. You probably have some sort of construct in your spirit about when you pray to the Father. You pray, and for me, it's like a twofold picture. There's the picture of sitting on his knee type picture and speaking to him as my father, as a child would, and that's a great picture. And You've probably got a similar sort of relating to God the Father picture like that. Then there's the picture of the Father sitting on a throne and the Almighty, you know, the big, the white beard and casting the stars out into that sort of the Almighty picture. Then there's, you know, when I pray about Jesus and I pray to Jesus, again, I have this sort of twofold picture. The first picture is, anyone see the Shack movie a few years ago? You know, the carpenter, brother, mate type Jesus, you know, where we can talk and relate and chop wood together and do stuff together and friend, brother Jesus. I have that sort of picture of Jesus. And then I have the Almighty picture of Jesus, which I've preached about here from John, sitting on the white charger, crown, gold, lightning coming forth from his mouth, you know, sword in his hand, the Almighty, the wonderful, the leader of Lord Shabbos, the God of the angel army, that sort of picture. So that's a sort of twofold picture that I have. You might not have the same sort of picture, that's okay, of what Jesus might be. And when I'm praying, it sort of vacillates between those two understandings of brother Jesus and God, you know, Almighty angel army sort of Jesus. And then I thought, what's my picture of the Holy Spirit? And I don't have one. What about you? Anything? Well, how do you picture a spirit, in fact? And it wasn't that long ago in Christendom that he was called the Holy Ghost. And I struggled with that. I mean, I'm struggling to verbalize what I'm doing here. How do I love the Holy Spirit? How do I declare him? How do I picture him? And I guess, like anyone, to obey God is worship. It's believing, it's trusting, it's revealing, it's using your gifts and your talents and your all of those things that God has given you to declare Him, to display Him. It's obedience to His word. It's prayer. It's all of those things that we do to honor God and to display God in our lives. And I guess that's the same with the Holy Spirit. That's how we display, that's how we love, and that's how we present the Holy Spirit. And then a few weeks ago, one of the ladies in our church got up and spoke about the Nicene Creed. Have a look at this.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
If you do a bit of study, you'll find that the Nicene Creed was brought about in about 365 AD after various heresies had come into the church regarding Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the heresy was that Jesus, well, God must have made the Son, therefore He's a created being and therefore not, you know, what the Bible is depicting Him as the, you know, eternal begotten God, you know, and God from God. And so the Nicene Creed and some variations of it came into being under the in that period of time to combat that particular heresy that was in the life of the church just 350 odd years after Jesus. I believe, it says there, in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Lord and the giver of life, I believe that. Who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Yep, okay with that, with the Father and the Son. He is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. Okay, tell me then, if you can, how does one worship the Holy Spirit? How does one glorify the Holy Spirit? And those questions perplexed me no end. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how we worship the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. And the only conclusion really I can come up with is very similar to the conclusion I came up with what it is like to worship God. Obey, believe, trust, yield, pray, all of those things. Displaying the gifts of the Spirit, displaying the life of the Spirit in me. I was reminded to go back and have a look in John where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus says to him, you remember the passage clearly, I'm sure. You know, let me read it to you. Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Don't be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like wind. And for those of you that are the Bible students, you'll know in the Old Testament that was the word was ruach, the breath of God. In the New Testament, pneuma, the wind of God, the breath of the Spirit. And so it's like wind. You can't tell where it's come from. You can't tell where it's going to. But my goodness, you can see the effect. And that's like the Holy Spirit. You can't tell where he's going to go with you. You can't tell where he's come from. He's organized stuff behind your life for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years to get you to come to that place of believing, and that mustard seed of faith takes root. I know that because I found in my past that there are generations of believers that I didn't even know existed. And yet God used that, you know, to bring it to the place where, you know, me, Paul, got saved and believed in God. So you don't see where he's come from. You don't see where he's going, but you see where he's been. You see his effect on a person's life. And that was evident for us not long after we got saved. People would come and say, "What's happened to you? I want what you've got." Just like Connie was sharing there a minute ago, where I want the God that you've got. Matthew 7 tells us that their fruit bears witness to what they are. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every tree, good tree bears good fruit, but a bad fruit bears bad fruit. Bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you shall recognize them. You can tell where the Holy Spirit has been by their fruit. We're not ever called to judge a person. I believe it's appointed once unto men to die and then comes judgment. God is the judge. I'm not commissioned to be the judge. I'm commissioned to love and to accept and to bless and to all of those things. But I'm not commissioned by God or anyone to judge them. But I am encouraged to judge their fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. So the answer is in the fruit to that question. How do we know where the Holy Spirit has been? You will see that by their fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is, you know it off by heart probably, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. I've picked one of them out, as one is wont to do. It's funny sometimes how something so very important slips by us, and it's so obvious and it's easy to see, but we walk past it. I picked out kindness. Kindness. I think kindness might be one of those things we don't really focus on all that much. Well, listen up, especially fellas. Listen up. This is important. In all my years of ministry, you might be surprised to know how many marriages would still be intact if we were only kind. If only he had been kind to me, I would have stayed with him. If only he had spoken kindly to me, I would have stayed. Kindness. What's the definition of such a thing? Sympathetic, helpful, friendly, thoughtful, gentle, well disposed. Well, I've got to say, it almost sounds effeminate. Maybe kindness is women's territory. Women are the nurturers, the caregivers. They build the nest, they care for the young. Men are warriors, protectors, providers, fix things. We like to fix things. Our job is to leave the cave and kill something and bring it home. Kindness sounds like a bit girly to me. But if you listen to the TV psychologists, they talk about men who are being kind and sensitive, and they say things like, you need to get in touch with your feminine side. Well, my feminine side's my wife, thank you very much. I'm okay with both halves of me being masculine. If it sounds like I'm picking on men, it's because of my experience in that area. Kindness doesn't necessarily come natural to me. Rough and tumble comes natural. Battle and conquest, no problem. Wrestle, hit, punch comes natural. Sarcasm and put down comes natural. But not kindness. Now, I'm not saying that I'm essentially a cruel person. It's just that I'm probably a typical man. And I'm sure there are a lot of naturally kind fellas out there around the place, but they're not actually drowning us out yet. And when I say that kindness doesn't come naturally, don't assume that I'm saying unkindness does either. Unkindness implies action and intention. That I or somebody else would intentionally do something unkind. What I'm actually talking about is the lack of action and intention on the kindness side. You see, kindness is intentional. Intentionally doing acts of kindness as opposed to not doing, intending anything and letting nature take its course. And when nature takes its course, men tend to fall short on kindness. Kindness isn't a state of mind or a mood, it's an action. And until it becomes a natural part of who we are, then it has to be an intentional action. That means until kindness flows naturally from us, because our heart is filled with kindness and gentleness towards others, then we need to practice kindness. Now, I know I pitched that at men, but I tell you what, I've met some really crappy women too. Some really nasty bits of work that really can tear you to pieces with their mouths, with their attitudes. So I'm not just talking to men, all right? And I've seen some of, you know, women-to-women interactions, and some of them are particularly nasty, I find. Grossly unkind, you could say. And you may have noticed out there in the world, as soon as you say something like that, there's no shortage of keyboard warriors that are only too willing to tear you to bits for saying it. And to be unkind to you, women or men, in whatever you choose. you know, whatever you say. And that's fine. Part of intentional may be what my old mum used to say. If you can't say anything kind about someone, keep your mouth shut. God bless your mum. That's not, they're not unwise words. We are called, however, to bear fruit. By that fruit, we display, others will know we've been with Jesus. Others will know that he's got something that's different. Like the wind, you can't see where it's come from. You can't see where it's going, but you'll see where it's been. How do we see the Holy Spirit? What does he look like? Well, he's called a spirit. It's a bit ethereal, isn't it? Perhaps we can't get our head around seeing him at all. But you can see his effect on people. What does he look like? He looks like you. He looks like you, at least when you display the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he looks like. And that's how people see him. Now that to me, and it should be to you, is very confronting. I can remember a saying that came years ago. Let me re-quote it. You may be the only God that people see. The only expression of God that people see. What are they seeing? Oh, that was hit you in the face stuff, you know. So how are we going? You know, I picked on kindness because it's a good one to pick on because it's lacking, sadly lacking in our society too. But what about love? What about joy? What about peace? What about long-suffering? What about goodness? What about faithfulness? What about faithfulness? What about gentleness? Here's another good one for this year. Self-control. What about self-control? You don't have to sit around and pray and fast for, you know, for 40 days to see the Holy Spirit, to see some vision of the Holy Spirit or some dream. Thank you about the dreams. I love the dreams. I dream all the time. You don't have to wait to see the swirling movement of the Spirit in the sky. Decide to display the fruit. Make a decision to display the fruit. Fruit that displays his work in you, in your sphere of influence. You see, I'm not necessarily in your sphere of influence. In your relationships, in your world. I don't live in your family, but you do. I don't live in your marriage, but you do. And I don't live in your workplace. Or I don't work in your workplace, but you do. Or in your classroom, or in your hectic social life. Snicker, snicker. But you do. That's where people see you. Or perchance see him. It's different every Sunday morning, isn't it? You know, wearing masks in church shouldn't be much of an imposition for us. The best part of many years we've been wearing masks every Sunday. And if you don't think that's true, look back for a couple of years even at several instances that you've had of brothers and sisters in church and you think, how did that happen? How could that have been? Because the person was wearing their mask on Sunday and you never would have picked it. And yet when they went home, they were doing all sorts of stuff. Dear friends, hear the heart of the call of the Holy Spirit this morning to encourage you, to challenge you, to lift you, to walk with you, to help display that wonderful, wonderful fruit of the Spirit that displays him. To show him to others is to honor Jesus. To honor Jesus is to honor the Father. And to honor the Father is kingdom. One of the other things God's been speaking to me about in these last couple of weeks is kingdom. I was praying over these churches as I walked around, and I'd pray over them, and I'd pray for the minister, and I'd pray for the congregation, and I'd pray for this, and I'd pray for that. And one day I'm walking past one of the churches, I think it was the Anglican church at this particular point in time, and God said to me, "Stop praying like that and pray like I showed you. I'm peeved at that point. Come on, God, I'm doing my best here." I said, "No, you're not. Pray like I showed you." And I began to pray like this: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come over this church. Let this church and let this minister and let this congregation become a kingdom expression." It's not about just praying for a person. It's not about just praying for a church. Even your church, it's not about just praying for Southern Life Church. It's about praying, "God, let Southern Life Church become a wonderful expression of your kingdom." Because if we can express God's kingdom, we're expressing him. And we become the light, and we become the salt that Steve talked about. And we lift him up, and we display him in all his glory. And there will be signs, and there will be wonders, and there will be all of those other things, because we're praying like he showed us. Can I challenge you about that? To pray thy kingdom expression over Southern Life Church. Blimey, why don't you pray it over yourself? Why don't you say, "God, make me, help me, bless me, that I might become a kingdom expression." She says. Not a bad idea, Paul. Not a bad idea. I think you're right. Thy kingdom come. A kingdom expression in your life. A kingdom expression, dare I say it, fellas, with your wife or with your husband. A kingdom expression. This breath, this Spirit of God that will empower us and sustain us and walk with us and walk with our family and display him through us. But I want to tell you something. He won't override your free will. He never has, and he never will. That's what makes your free will so powerful. What he is asking for is you agree to that, and you yield, and you say, "God, make me a kingdom expression." He won't force you. He won't force you to do that. He will encourage you. He will spur you onto it, but he won't force it on you. Make me a kingdom expression, God. Lord, would you make me a kingdom expression? Amen. I'm walking down to the church this morning. I came down a bit early, and I'm praying as I came down the road. And I felt like I had a picture in my mind that God cut my skull, lifted the lid, and began to pour words and letters and numbers into my head, like a download of the Spirit of God, a download of words, a download of encouragement, a download of... And of course, I know it doesn't look like it, but he closed it back up. And I'm just waiting for the hair to grow back. Sorry. Be brave, Paul, he said. Paul, he's saying, be brave. Let the words come out. Sandra, I want you to ask me something on behalf of the church. Can you ask me, what do you see, Paul? Sandra, I'm glad you asked. I see a field of wheat waving in the wind. I see an angelic being, whether that's God or whether that's the Holy Spirit or whether that's an angel, reaping the harvest. Reaping the harvest. I see a season of harvest coming in the life of the church. I see a season of harvest coming, and God is going to surprise you. Who likes surprises? Three of you, four of you. Who does not like surprises? I don't like surprises. I like things planned. I like things in order. I like things straight down the line. I don't like surprises. But I feel like God is saying, oh, watch out, surprise, surprise. I'm going to surprise you with the harvest. I'm going to surprise you with the people that are touched by the harvest. I'm going to surprise you with those that are hearing or hear the message of the gospel. I'm going to surprise you. You will be surprised who gets saved. You will be surprised at the miracles. You will be surprised at the testimonies by the Spirit of God in this place. You will be surprised, Southern Life Church, about what's coming. And I'm not saying this year necessarily. I'm saying in this next season, beginning now. Like, I declare it in the name of Jesus. Let the come harvest of God. Amen? Season of harvest into the life of the church. Sandra, could you ask me again, Paul, what do you see? Sandra, I'm glad you asked. Sandra, I see for you random brushstrokes. Now, I don't know that that's the way you paint. I don't know that that's the way you live. I don't know that that's you at all. But I see you with a brush in your hand randomly painting. Ros, ask me what I see. Well, glad you asked, Ros. What I see is you sitting back at a cafe table with cheese and crackers and a really good glass of wine, laughing your head off because she's raking it in. She's raking it in with the things that the Spirit of God has given her to paint with random brush strokes. And you're sitting there laughing. How good is this? That's what I see, Rice. But I want to say to you, don't forget that the gifts of God are for the support of the kingdom. And think about that and do something with that. Joe, ask me what I see. No, I can't see you with the glasses on. They make you blurry. Well, I don't see anything, Joe. Thank you for asking. But I heard something. Let me ask you a question. You're a gold prospector, right? And you have your metal detector and you're going around, you've got your earphones on, and you listen as you shake this thing over the ground, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 and there's a really strong sound, and what happens inside? There's a certain sense of excitement, anticipation. Yoo-hoo, you beauty! You know, this will, you know, happy retirement. What if that was like that when you saw someone that you could touch for the Spirit of God? That same excitement, that same anticipation, that same knowledge that this is worth more than gold. That you will touch people and it's worth more than gold. But it's so exciting. So I see in you, I hear in you a sense of excitement that God is going to, like, he's going to waft you or wave you over people's lives, and it will be like that signal in your ear, and you will know, that's where I'm going to go. That's what I've got to do. That's the person God wants me to touch. That's the person God wants me to sow into, or whatever it is. He'll lead you in that. But I feel like, you know, that sense of excitement? That's what he's talking about. That anticipation of the excitement of what God is saying to you. Yeah? Can you cope with that? Andy, ask me what I can see. I can't see you at all. You're right back in the shadows. I said, hello, Andy. I can't see you at all. You're way back in the shadows, but not for much longer. Brother, not for long. God has put his hand on you. God has put his life in you. I see a bright-eyed man. Scary. Have you ever met someone who's really, really high on drugs and their eyes are, they're buzzing? Like, have you ever met that? I have a few times, and, you know, it's really something. All reason's not there, you know, and they're really buzzing. Now, I'm not comparing the Holy Spirit to that particularly, but I'm saying I see this bright-eyed man with light in his eyes. Now, you'll agree with me, Andy, probably, or maybe not. I may offend you here, but you're not the prettiest thing to look at. And he said, thank you for that, Paul, I receive it. No, he didn't. But it's not about that, Andy. It's not about what you look like on the outside. It's about what's alive on the inside. And I see the light of God coming out of those eyes. I see the light of God coming out into the kingdom light that's in you. And you're going to touch people after person, and he's going to be, I think I see you with a Bible in your hand preaching to people. I see you in that role. Somewhere that you become that sort of person. Well, you're on the road to it already. Actually, I feel like you're on the road there, and don't give up, don't pull back, just push in to that. Amen. Thank you, God. What do you see, Paul? God, Show me, give me eyes of the Spirit and give me the bravery and the courage to speak that out. Because when you express the gifts of the Spirit, you are expressing Him. You're showing who He is to people around you. You're showing what He's like. Sylvia, ask me what I see. I see a room with many doors. And you're not afraid to walk into any of them. I see a room with many doors. Don't hesitate at any one of them. God is opening the doors for you in many, many areas. In many, many areas. Be encouraged to take a hold of the history of your life, the things that God has built into you. And to express that in every doorway that you walk through. There will be people that invite you to come through their doors because of that. Take a hold of that. Besides that, there's free coffee and biscuits. But walk through the doors that are open and stand at the door and knock of those that aren't. And let God lead you through them. Amen. You know, we could all move in the gifts of the Spirit in all different sorts of ways. Sue asked me what I see. What? Say it out loud. Well, I'm glad you asked. Over your head, I see a whirlpool. Some of it's confusion. Some of it's dark confusion. But in the midst of that, it's like there's an eye in the hurricane. And in that place, there's calmness, there's sedateness, there's freedom from the storm. And God has you in that place as you learn, as you grow in the things of God, and you'll be able to dissipate. I see you putting your hands out and pushing back that whirlpool, pushing back that maelstrom that's around you, pushing back the storm that gets around your life, and you'll flourish in His peace, I think is what He's saying. Let flourish in His peace. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to ask a question? Let's stand together in the house. For those of you that are watching online, listening, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch each one. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your anointing. I declare over you that are watching and over this congregation that today is a new day. Today, I feel like there's a firecracker in the ground, and I feel like I'm the one that's supposed to take the flame to the wick, and I place the flame against the wick, and the instructions on the firecracker say, "Stand back safely." That's what I feel like. That's what I see for myself, that I'm supposed to be a catalyst wherever I go to light something fresh, to light something new. Put your hand on your heart and say, "God, give me something fresh. Give me something new in the name of Jesus." Lord, fill us afresh for this day, for this season in the life of the church. Ignite this place to be an example of your kingdom. Let this become a kingdom expression. Andy, become a kingdom expression. Signs and wonders at your hand as you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jane, dream after dream after dream of the things of God. Dreams that will bring you to a place of reaching out to people, touching people, believing and seeing healings and wonders at your hand. Signs and wonders following the preaching of your word. Thank you, God. Lord, ignite us afresh, I pray today. I've got to stop because they told me I had to preach short. So I said, "Yes, that's me, short and sweet." As if. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this congregation as we go and be light and salt, as we go and display that fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you want some prayer in that area, I'm happy to pray with you. I'm happy to touch, you know, those things, and I'm happy to bless you, happy to be part of your life at this moment and pray with you. So hang around if you want some prayer. Otherwise, you know, I think there's coffee and that out in the foyer, and God bless Steve and Roz out there as they serve you in that area. Thank you, Lord. Margaret, stop. Marg, ask me. Marg, I see you writing a book. I see you, well, not necessarily writing a book. I see you writing a letter. Look, come and talk to me after, and we'll unpack that a bit. I feel like I can unpack that one a bit. All right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have your way in this place today, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you heaps. If you want prayer, come and get it and move on from there. Thank you, Lord. I believe.